but he's afraid of ladders.
Today and then the woe-begone San Francisco Giants continue in what has been a disastrous road trip so far. I have to mention this up front. So much has been made of the two walk-offs yesterday by the Phils, the first time any team has walked off two games in a given doubleheader since 2004, and the first time the Phils have done it since, I think, 1998. But that's not the real story. It's one thing to get walked off twice, particularly on the road and in this day and age where you're playing with the runner at second, which, as you guys know, I feel is Harry High School and ridiculous. But the real story is you not only got walked off twice, you carried leads into the ninth inning both times. It's one thing if the game is tied in the ninth or you rallied to set it to extra innings. But to be beaten both times, one in the ninth, the other in the tenth, because you blew leads in the ninth, and then you have a runner for some reason not deciding to score from second base on a ground ball up the middle that's in short center field. That's how you end up losing three to the Phils, who have had a terrible start to the year. So that's my way of saying stay tuned for my lovable San Francisco Giants. Listen, I'll go over the entirety of the schedule a little bit later on for both 1430 and 790. It's a very busy schedule for us. It's always courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedules, I will tell you about the great fundraising that Ed does through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. Ed, of course, a proud alum of Fresno State. Matt Norville with me today, normally Jackson, but Matty was supposed to be with me yesterday to talk about this very important three-game series the softball team has. I think people know Matt is the voice of the women's program at Fresno State, or women's programs at Fresno State, and also frequently on the men's broadcast. But the Giants and the rain out and the doubleheader and all of that stuff yesterday meant we didn't have a chance to talk to Matt today, so Jackson, nice enough to wait until next week so I can bring Matt up momentarily. And we will talk about softball. I'll get his take on the new players in the basketball team. And also, if we have time, ask him about the NBA matchups coming up tonight, including the Lakers in Houston. We'll get to that. But first, our other lead dogs, as always, want to spend a few minutes with you, starting with our good friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, more information, 825-533-7825 Lee's or leesair.com on the web. Terrific local people. They have been in NorCal in Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Very competitive pricing, very, very nice people, very timely. Anything you need, hit them on the web, schedule an appointment, or give them a call. They allow me the time to tell you about the weather, and the weather forecast is a real nice one. 88 today, 89 tomorrow. There's a chance over the weekend that we could see some clouds, 79 on Saturday, and then a dip to 71 on Sunday. And there's a slight chance of rain, mainly in the upper reaches, but there could be a sprinkle or two on the valley floor late Sunday into Monday, and then a slight chance on Tuesday. So basically Monday and Tuesday with a 71 and 73, or a 71 and 74. Those are your chances, and then we're right back after that, clearing on Wednesday with an 83 and an 85 on Thursday. So high 80s to bookend it on today and tomorrow and the end of the 7 day, and then we'll see what happens during the middle. But by and large, a very nice forecast, so enjoy it out there. And as always, be very, very careful to spend not too much time out in the heat this time of year. Anyway, thanks, everybody at Lee's, for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com. 825-533-7825, Lee's. Then finally, before we bring Matt up on the Lee's Air Hotline, by the way, mark that down because you can call Phil directly on that one, 559-320-1430. We'll get to Matty in a second. But first, our other lead dogs at the outstanding business that is Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, which means Joe Cruz. They want to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. I mention this every day, Joe. Longtime friend, longtime benefactor at Fresno State, over three decades now, and celebrating his 26th anniversary of his outstanding business at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Give him a call, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go on the web for more information, superiorpipeusa.com. You find more info, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there for you. If you're someone who works around a valve, if you're a plant, a maintenance person, if you have a tanker delivery service, work around a boiler, you're at a dairy, anybody who relies upon a valve for the well-being of their business and a financial bottom line, if that valve goes down, your business can come crashing down with it. One of the great aspects of Joe's family-friendly business is he'll sit face-to-face with you, analyze your situation right away, give you an estimate, and if it's a same-day proposition, they'll get you up and running immediately. If it's a longer proposition, they'll make sure they get started right away and get you up as soon as possible. That way you don't take that catastrophic hit. When he's done discussing your business, if you have a few minutes, he'd like to tell you what he has done as a benefactor for over three decades at Fresno State. And we'll tell you right now, the best avenue is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that, take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Club Red for former student athletes under that header, Myers Champion Circle, Green V Society, your giving societies, and then you also have your sports clubs where you can get your money directly to a given team. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball is on the board of directors, timeout club. They'd love to have more members. Vance would love to see more members. Jack has said you can give him a call directly in his cell for more information anytime you'd like, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. And by the way, if you talk to him, ask him to tell you the story about why his email is FurtickJack@AOL.com and not JackFurtick@AOL.com. Somebody else has that email, and you're not going to believe the exact issue with that. So ask Jack, if you talk to him, to explain why the juxtaposition of his email. It's always something I like to do just for Jack. Also, keep in mind, other sports are there for you. Links for the Dugout Club for baseball, other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, the more header, just that single word, will tell you more information for things on campus like tickets and parking, etc. Thanks again to Joe Cruz for allowing us time to tell you how to donate. Always terrific guy in regard to his business and his devotion to Fresno State. The same applies to Ed Dunkel at Precision Civil Engineering and, of course, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And on the aforementioned Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, it is our great friend and a guy getting ready for another critical broadcast tonight. Very important for Fresno State softball. It is Matt Norville. Matty, how you doing? I'm doing fine, Matt. I am reeling about the Giants, but you know what? I'm used to it by now. As I've said before, I have been living and dying with these guys, mainly dying since 1962. And except for 2010, 12, and 14, those were the Oasis times. The rest of it has been abject frustration while the bleeping Dodgers continue to win all the time. Let's get that out of the way and say, let's talk about softball. But thanks for asking. Matt, I thought Sunday's game was the most important game of the year for this softball team, simply because they, as you and I had exchanged in emails, they had suffered crushing, you talk about walk-off, last-moment losses in Albuquerque, in Reno, and they were in a position after two terribly frustrating losses in Nevada that if they would have lost Sunday, they could have been forced to sweep, because I think you and I both know that San Jose State is not likely to win up in Boise. They had to win psychologically and practically on Sunday, in my opinion. And to have that lead get away and come back to win, Matt, I thought that was the defining game of the year so far. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, that was a huge one. The other one you go back to is Colorado State getting this sweep right, in the midweek in the doubleheader, which, by the way, when we get to talking about how tie breaks from work is gigantic now all of a sudden. But yeah, I agree with you. They had, I think I said it last week, I said they have to get one from Nevada. They just have to. And you have to find a way. And after they had the lead in that first game and they give up the home run in the bottom of the seventh, a solo shot when it's a tie game, it's a walk-off. Then, in man, Saturday was a killer. You're up a run and you give up a walk-off grand slam. But then to bounce back and then do something that she hasn't done at all during the conference season, that's used three pitchers in one game, started with Carrasco, brought in Ramirez, and then brought in Loza, the freshman, for the final two innings. And for Loza to come in and put up zeros on the board, it was a freshman who got the big hit in the seventh. They walked away with a lot of confidence, knowing that, hey, that's the number two team in the conference on their field, last year's regular season champs. And we honestly had a chance to win all three, and they walked away with one, and they kind of carried that momentum, as Coach Morgan talked about after the game, offensively into the game last night. And they had to at least get one in the series against San Diego State. Now it's all up to you. You win today or you win tomorrow, you are in no matter what. More than likely, if they are able to get a win tonight or tomorrow, they will probably be in the 4-5 game. They can finish as high as the 4 seed, and depending on what happens. They could finish as low as the 6 seed, but more than likely, if they get a win in the next two, they'll probably be in the 4-5 matchup, which is good. Is that in that 3-6 matchup, it could be Nevada or UNLV based on what happened last night, and that would be a tough game. But, yeah, and they honestly, Tony, they can still get in even if they don't win the next two because of that Nevada win. That's how clutch that was. It gave them their 10th win in conference. And with the tie-breaking scenarios, which we'll talk about, yeah, Fresno State, they could get into that Mountain West Conference tournament without winning a game, but that's not what Coach Morgan's thinking about. She's saying we're playing good softball the last couple of weeks. They just lost to some schools in elevation where a pop-up is a home run. And so they feel like they're ready to go, and they're clicking on all the cylinders that they need to be right now.
As you and I have talked, when the diamond was constructed back in the mid-90s, they had a choice if they were going to turn it in the same direction that Biden Field is turned, which means the winds, which normally, as you know, come out of the northwest in this town, makes the park play small, or they could turn it in the direction they did. And it is a tough homer park, yet there are a lot of places on the road that it's completely different. Like you said, the girls get a pop-up and it flies out of the park, and it is jarring for Fresno State pitchers. But they have been able to persevere and at least put themselves in a position. And one more time, people aren't familiar with how this works, and the men are doing the same thing. Top two seeds get a bye. The conference tournament, by the way, starts midweek next week back in Reno. So Fresno State going right back where they just left last weekend. But as we've talked, the top two seeds get the double elimination opportunity. The other four seeds, 3 through 6, 3 and 6, 4 and 5, play single elimination. So two teams leave the playground in a big hurry. The two that win then are in double elimination. But, boy, as we've talked, Matt, anytime you're traveling, it's a ways to go to play one game and lose. You absolutely do not want to do that. So if you're Fresno State, you want all the momentum in the world, and you don't want to push yourself all the way to Saturday. You have a 6 o'clock start tonight. After what you saw, the team jumping with four runs right away last night, you're looking for them to jump early again today? I mean, are they in that kind of mode at the moment?
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually looking for more so than that. I'm curious with how she's going to start game two. Is she going to have loads of the freshmen started, or is she going to have A-Ram, Melissa Ramirez, start game two, which she did against Colorado State in that important doubleheader? I think more importantly than Fresno State getting off to a good start offensively is they need to have a couple of innings they put up zeros and not have that crooked number early. That's what's happened at some points throughout game number two for Fresno State. There's been some crooked numbers early, and then the Dawgs have to play catch up. But honestly, it can all be a moot point, truthfully, by the time that game goes, because Boise State and San Jose State are playing right now. So if Boise was to fall, then Fresno State already knows they're in. You're just playing for your seat. There's still a lot of different things can happen. We're just going to go through the scenarios real quick for listeners listening. If Colorado State, who is playing Grand Canyon, and the reason that's important, even though GCU won last night and clinched the regular season crown because of Nevada's loss, Their RPI is 31. They're the one seed. But if they stumble in the conference tournament, they need to keep that RPI as high as possible and not have a ton of losses. So they are going to take the next two games against Colorado State extremely serious. If Colorado State loses both of those games, Fresno State's in no matter what. If Boise loses one, Fresno State's in no matter what. And if Fresno State wins a game, the next two, they're in no matter what. So there's a lot of scenarios where Fresno State gets in, and it kind of breaks in their favor in terms of Grand Canyon's not going to take it easy just because they clinched the crown. They're trying to get at least a good enough spot where they can be in at large. And outside chance besides that, Tony, they're trying to get a top two seed in a regional, which they said in the softball this year, they're going to seed the top 32 teams. So Grand Canyon can't afford a loss late to Colorado State if they're trying for that. And that actually helps Fresno State. But as for tonight, I'm looking more so from the pitcher's point of view. I think they've got to put up zeros the first couple of innings. Offense has been playing well, and I think the offense will continue to clip.
And then Saturday, for people that want to come out for Senior Day, what is start time Saturday? 6 o'clock tonight at Marjorie. What's the start time for the final regular season game at home this year?
Yeah, so Saturday's the 1 o'clock start. Senior Day festivities will be happening, obviously, before the game, probably around 12:45-ish for seven seniors. And then they will have a banquet afterwards to represent all the seniors with all their families and everything. And I'll be actually hosting that. And that will be taking place at the softball diamond as well. And what's interesting about this senior class is we talk about this day and age about the transfer portal. A lot of the seven seniors, you've got five of them that have spent 4 years here at Fresno State, their entire career. And there's some good players for Fresno State that could have actually gone. Emma Martinez was a name I thought about when head coach Stacey Mae Johnson left. I thought Emma might enter the portal and look to go somewhere else. She decided to stay. Jamie Hicks is having her best offensive season, and she's been here all 4 years. Tindy's been a pinch runner. She's been here. Alyssa Ramirez is having an unbelievable season, doing it a third pitching, and she's the one that had the three-run home run last night. She's been here all 4 years. Ray Boyeno, I think, is the best defensive center fielder. She's the best defensive center fielder I've seen all year, no doubt about it. And she's been here all four. And then you got Elias came after her freshman year, so she's been here three out of the four. And then Carranco's the only one that hasn't. And you remember she's from Clovis, and she was with Coach Morgan at CSUN the last 3 years. So in a day and age of the transfer portal, it is interesting that this senior class has been very loyal to where they went, and they have gone through, you know, bad seasons. They had the championship game experience last year, and now they'll have hopefully another chance to see what happens next week. But, yeah, all that begins at 1 o'clock first pitch on Saturday.
So I hope people come out, and then they'll start Wednesday with the festivities to see who gets through in Reno. And we've talked about Grand Canyon, just brought it up there, terrific team. So is Nevada. UNLV is very viable, and we'll see if the Bulldogs can continue to play well. Hasn't been a great year, but it's been a solid rebuilding year, and if they get a puncher's chance of this thing, it'll be terrific. By the way, you brought up Boise State and San Jose State being underway, so just checking out the live feed right now at dmw.com. They are in the mid-second inning mode right now, so nothing going to bottom of two in Boise, and realistically, Boise State's going to win that game, but maybe the Spartans can do the Bulldogs a favor before they part ways with the different affiliations next year. We'll update you in the next half hour, and I'm sure that in the half hour that Phil has, he'll be able to do the same. I want to ask you about basketball, Matt, and the acquisition, speaking of transfer portal for Fresno State. But first, to our pal Robert out there. Robert, you asked about the situation with CW, and ESPN's app. There are things I can say and things I can't say. Robert, you're aware of this. When it comes to a lot of stuff with the conference, I can't bring up certain things I'd like to, and I tried to explain this before because of other involvement I have. But let's just say this real quickly. I brought it up a couple years ago that there were going to be three letters you were going to have to pay close attention to in the ever-changing world of sports television, and that is direct to consumer. So DTC. I mentioned this when Steve Ballmer started it with the Clippers. What has happened is a lot of regional sports networks have gone up in flames. It's happening more and more. The churn rate, because of cord cutting, because of people that are able to go a la carte instead of paying for a lot of stuff they don't want, it has changed the dynamic so much that what you have now is conferences looking to try to get the best possible avenue for people to see their games without relying so much on a given website. In other words, the CW does not have a sports website. They have a website that they run some of their sports through, but that also has their regular programming on it. Certain entities like Peacock, for instance, or Fox Sports, or obviously ESPN, they have a dedicated sports app. And what ESPN is trying to do when they reconfigured everything with ESPN Unlimited, I mean, they basically staked their future on their sports app more even than their satellite or cable distribution. That's why ESPN is pulling their product, I think people are aware, separately to an a la carte situation for around $30 a month. But what they're trying to do is take as many other sports, for instance, in this case, we're talking about the CW, so we're talking about not only what we see in regard to the new Pac-12, but NASCAR is there, the ACC Association has been there. They're trying to take as many things as they can and put them under the ESPN umbrella, like one-stop shopping. So, Robert, if you're looking at a kiosk at a huge shopping mall and you had different sports at different locations and somebody was nice enough out on the kiosk to put everything under one header, it would make it a lot easier for you to find. It doesn't mean that that particular entity is the one producing everything, but they're gathering it all up into a one-stop shopping place. That's what ESPN is trying to do. They want to put their product and every other product they can possibly find under their header so you can find it and they can entice you to their website for more hits. So what it means is for the CW, it means they're now going to be on the ESPN app, which is really important because there isn't a CW sports app. It's great for the conference. It's great for ESPN. But the production will still belong to the CW. It's more of one-stop shopping, trying to consolidate everything. When what's happening right now with this direct-to-consumer, it is segmenting everything. It means there are a lot more individual locations for things, so they're trying to put it under a header that makes it easier and mutually beneficial and hopefully beneficial for the fan bases. That's what it's about. In weeks to come, I'll try to go over this more, but there are certain things I just cannot say about the Pac-12 that I would like to. You'll find out soon enough. Okay, Matt, that having been said, back to on the court. What do you think of Hennig? What do you think of Perry? What do you think of the acquisition so far?
As a whole, I like what Coach Walter is doing in terms of he's got some youth, he's got some experience. He's got some kids that, you know, play JC ball. Keep in mind, Coach Wahlberg understands the junior college route, having coached at City. I do like what I'm seeing. It's interesting when it's hard to see, as we talked about, really how it's going to translate because everyone puts up good numbers. But when you take a look at what they did at their old school, I mean, the kid they just picked up, the 7-footer from Cal Baptist, I mean, he didn't really do much at his other school. So you want to say, is it going to be more of a system-based thing where they're looking at him to fill kind of Jack's role, and he's going to do more with Fresno State than he did at Cal Baptist? I think you've got your score, and Munich's going to be your guy, at least right now. I believe it's going to be getting a lot of your shots. I told you how much I liked Lungu. I'm curious about to see what he's going to do. And Perry, I'll be honest, I'm not sure on Perry, just because, I mean, he played JC, but I know he was rated really high. I just haven't seen enough of him. He went to BYU, but he didn't play, obviously, redshirted. And so I'm curious to see what he's going to do at Fresno State. But I do like that pickup because you needed another guard. You definitely need another guard. And what people are forgetting is you need a person that can score, but you also need that point guard that can distribute at times and get you into the flow and get you offense. And you're going to need a couple of guards to be able to do that. You don't want to just rely on one because any sort of injury problems you have, any foul trouble, guys are gassed or anything. And nowadays in basketball, you just need a bunch of guys that can handle the basketball and get you into stuff or go one-on-one and break it off the bounce. I always look at three-level guys. I think you need three-level scores. I think Ammunique is one of those guys. But I think Perry can be one of those guys as well that can be a three-level scorer. And then at the college level, you need length, you need athleticism. And I think for Coach Wahlberg, I know they still have a couple moves to make. I would be looking for a few more athletes if you can, if you're Coach Wahlberg. That's what I'd be looking at.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. There are at least a couple of others on the radar, and I will have Vance on as soon as he has some time as we head toward our formal association with Fresno State that will begin on July 1 as we come to flagship once again. So I will get Vance on, and we'll talk about who he has and what he might be looking for in a general sense. Obviously, he cannot bring up other names. I want to ask you, though, Matt, about the philosophical end that we have discussed a lot, and obviously you know Vance's background, and he has been a system coach and a very successful system coach. I keep bringing up the same question. In this day and age of constant movement, yes, the acquisition of talent is imperative. It's a necessary but not sufficient condition. But can you realistically try to run a system when guys are just coming in and you're not likely to hold on to them more than a year, maybe two tops? Is the approach, get the athletes out there, let them loose, try to instill what you want to see ultimately, but understand there's going to have to be compromise. There just isn't time for everybody to attain that corporate knowledge that makes teams so tough to defend.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely true, but I would say in terms of system, offensively, a lot of teams are running kind of the same stuff. And when you look at Coach Wahlberg and what he's done, you see a lot of what he's doing, not only in college and the NBA as well, but you see it at AAU. So a lot of the guys are used to playing that. Where I think it gets tricky for you is the teams that have a lot of defensive type of system. Teaching, help side defense if I'm playing man. Teaching trapping defense. That takes some time. You start thinking about the old Temple days with Coach Chaney. You probably can't just walk in and know that system. Coach Boeheim with the 2-3 zone, you say, oh, it's just a 2-3 zone. Yeah, but there's a lot of intricacies that go into it. So I think that's where it comes into play. Offensively, not so much. A lot, it's a copycat game. You see pretty much the same thing around college basketball. You see pretty much the same thing around the NBA as well. So I wouldn't say, per se, I'd be too worried about that. It's just on the defensive side, I think it can be a little tricky. You know what also is tricky, which coaches won't say publicly, but I'm not going to say where I was or anything like that. What I was told before a game one time, beware of this kid. He's a very good kid, but you can see he's playing for his next contract. And that is what I think has entered into the college realm that has been there a little bit in the NBA, but it's never, you've never really noticed it in the college realm. Is to an average fan, you say, okay, what is that? Does that mean the kid's not trying to win? No, not at all. But what it means is a kid might be a little bit more aggressive. He wants to make sure his numbers are his numbers so that he looks better on the open market. So it's just one of those things where you hear fans or broadcasters say maybe a kid's playing hero ball, and we're not a system that does that. You'll see that a little bit at times, but as far as your original question, no, I don't think on the offensive side it matters much because a lot of guys and a lot of coaches and a lot of teams are running very similar offenses to what the kids did at AAU level. But I think on the defensive side, learning the system and learning how to rotate and doing all that, you just don't have as much time, Tony, to teach that. And you might say, oh, that kid's going to be a heck of a defender in our system in a couple of years, but that kid's going to be gone. So I just don't think you can implement your system as much. You got to do it quickly, which means if you're going to have to do something fast, you can't have it as in-depth as it was, which then obviously changes your exact system.
One other thing, Matt, and we'll continue to talk about this, obviously, as it unfolds, but your view of the strength of the pack heading into next year versus what Fresno State is leaving behind. Jackson and I have talked about this. You are leaving behind some very good basketball programs like New Mexico, for instance. You're also carrying some very good programs with you. But in addition to the Gonzagas of the world that now become part of your conference, you do leave behind four potential wins almost immediately, two against Air Force and two against San Jose State, if you're able to play in the schedule home and home with both. Is it going to be tougher to pick up conference wins next year? Is it going to be about the same? Is it to be determined? What is your view right now as we look at this thing?
Yeah, I think that's a two-part question, honestly, in your question. It's going to be tougher to pick up wins, no doubt about it, because you lose a couple of teams that you've had success against over the last bunch of years. Keep in mind, San Jose State wasn't a walkover for Fresno State by no stretch in the last couple of years. They've lost to San Jose State twice a couple of years ago, and then they beat them last season, of course. Air Force has been that one that you're talking about. But as far as overall better, I mean, I think the conference for the Pac is going to be slightly better than the Mountain West. I think what fans need to look at is how many quad one games in conference in the Mountain West did Fresno State play? How many are they going to play in the Pac? I think that answers your question right there. Gonzaga is going to be a quad one. It is going to be a quad one. So you're going to get that in conference play no matter what. Why that's important is, let's say Joe Lunardi has you on the bubble and towards the latter stages of the year, and you need that quality win. If you're in the Mountain West, you're not going to get that win, more than likely, because they're going to be like, it's not a quad one. You might have Gonzaga on your schedule late. That's now the game you circle. You look at St. Mary's against Gonzaga, how big of a game that was for St. Mary's in terms of getting an at-large bid. That was gigantic because they had them on their schedule late. You take Gonzaga away, where's their big win late that St. Mary's needs to get into the tournament? I think that's what you've got to look at if you're the Pac. But overall, I think the conference will be a lot closer than people think. The Pac's going to be a better basketball conference than the Mountain West, no doubt about it. You've got San Diego State in it. You've got Utah State. You've got Gonzaga, as we mentioned. I mean, if Washington State is able to get back to where they were, Oregon State's had some good teams in the past. I mean, you've got some teams, Colorado State, Boise. You hope Fresno State's able to get to that. It can be very good, but you don't have the likes. You're not going to have New Mexico. You're not going to have Nevada, two very good basketball programs. Grand Canyon is a very good basketball program. So those are three programs you lose, but you gain a Gonzaga, which is a quad one. And none of those three teams I just mentioned are quad one games. So I think that helps you in the long run. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot tougher to win games in the Pac, no doubt about it. I don't know. I mean, if you look at it on paper, Tony, who would you say is a gimme that you can get a win? You wouldn't say there is one.
Well, and that's the point. I think you're right in saying that the floor is a little lower because you're, of course, I'm talking about in the Mountain West because of Air Force and at times San Jose State. And the ceiling is going to be a little higher in regard to the Gonzagas of the world in the Pack. The middle is where the issue comes into play. It is very similar, but I think your point is well taken, Matt. The consistency of opposition is going to mean, and football is going to be the same way, you just can't afford nights off. I mean, that's the thing. You're going to roll into a conference where if you are not focused, you're not going to get away with a half-hearted kind of approach, and you could find yourself losing games. And this team, of course, has reinvented the ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. We're not, kidding anybody about the last couple of years. But you have to be careful, even though the New Mexicos aren't there, the UNLVs aren't there, there aren't going to be very many nights off, maybe none in the conference coming up. And I think that applies to football as well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say that's fair to say. I would say, though, that the Pac is definitely more of a basketball league than a football conference if you just look at it on paper. And I'll give you one, too. Baseball's going to be loaded. Baseball's the one I look at, too. And you've got Dallas Baptist in there. You've got Oregon State perennial College World Series. Fresno State always usually has a good baseball year. I know they're down this season, but usually they have a good baseball team. San Diego State. I mean, you look at baseball. Baseball's going to be loaded. You could make a legitimate argument, Tony, in terms of trying to get to that next level, which is get to a Final Four, compete for a national championship, that football actually in the Pac is the third toughest out of the big three. Basketball's one, baseball's two, and then it's football. But, yeah, football will be difficult, no doubt about it. But I think, in my opinion, basketball and baseball are a lot tougher than the football conference. In terms of nationally where things are, I think football will be tough, but just not as tough as those two.
You're right, and the biggest thing about football, as we've talked over and over again, it's not where you're at with 8 right now. It's where you go between 8 and 12 at some point and
Correct.
Maybe up to 16.
Correct.
Certainly, 8 to 9, that one ad has got to happen in a hurry so that you don't have this unbalanced 4-3 home and road scheduling. But where you go, and this is the thing we've talked about over and over again, Matt, about the pack. Yeah, the money should be a little bit better. But more than anything else, you have been able to create room at the inn, meaning you have a chance to build the conference in a unique way. University presidents, as we've talked over and over again, move with glacier-like speed, particularly with personal relationships. To be able to sever some associations, because it was Oregon State and Washington State that invited you over, it gives you a chance to clear the slate, start again with eight, because you had a Texas State to get the eight. Now the intelligence of your administration overall of the pack to bring the proper schools in. We'll see what happens. Real quick, because I want to ask you about the NBA, particularly Paul George in the last few minutes here. Big games come up, including the Lakers tonight, I want to ask you about. But in 30 seconds, is St. Mary's going to consider strongly, if they get an invite, of jumping for basketball in the pack? What's your guess?
I honestly don't have any inside information, but I would say yeah. And I would say that would be the smart move, and that would be a good addition for a lot of sports too, for a baseball, for a softball. Softball's doing well. They had a huge series this weekend against LMU. That's a gigantic series, and they've already knocked off Washington twice and Stanford once. But yeah, I would think that would be a good addition. I know they don't have football, but yeah, if you're St. Mary's and you get it, I would think no doubt about it, you make that move, especially with the history of their basketball at St. Mary's. I know their coach just went to Arizona State, but that's a basketball power year in, year out. So I would think definitely in this 30 seconds, yeah, I would take it.
And it gives you a NorCal presence that you don't have right now in the conference, because San Jose State's not coming along, and of course Cal and Stanford are busy bleeping around on the East Coast. That's just one man's editorial opinion. I cleaned it up just for air, Matt. You know off air what I would. Everybody knows off air what I would have said. But then again,
oh yeah, we know
what
you would have said off air.
Well, look, just like with Draymond Green. I will tell this about very quickly with Draymond. Draymond saying that Steve Kerr limited your offensive game. No, you limited your offensive game, and I have got four letters for you for advice, Draymond. The first two are S and T, and I don't need to tell you what the other two are. That's enough of that. All right, on that high note, you know I try to keep it highbrow as I possibly can. Want to ask you about Paul George. I gave him up for dead last week. Again, his demise has been greatly overstated by me. Is it possible for Philly to roll into Boston and beat the Celtics three times at TD? Is it possible to do that?
It's definitely possible. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't. I just really don't. I think Boston's going to win game seven, but it is possible. I mean, the way they played last night, Tony, that was impressive. I mean, PG at 23. What, Maxey dropped a 30-piece? Maxey, I mean, he can play. And when you have all the guys, you got Edgecombe, you got Maxey, you got PG, you got Embiid, they're much better than their seed. Obviously, they've been hurt. You had a suspension in there, so that's why they're so low. It is possible, but I think Boston will get game seven. I'm a little nervous. I know I'm going to be honest. I'm a little nervous about Tatum. I know they say it was nothing, and he's coming off an Achilles. And I know it's not the same leg, but I'm just a little apprehensive. I know they're close to the situation. They know what's going on more than I do. But I just know when you injure one part and you come back, and he came back quick, by the way. Halliburton had the same injury. I know it was a little later in the playoffs, but he didn't come back at all. He missed the whole year. You look at other players that tore their Achilles. It's a full-year process. He came back. If you start to feel anything, I just would be cautious with Tatum. That's kind of my hesitation, but I do think Boston's going to get them in game seven. I just think there's no way Philly wins three in a row, but they definitely can. There's no doubt about it. It's not like I'd be shocked if they did, but especially the way that PG, Embiid, Maxey, and Edgecombe can play together, I wouldn't be shocked at it.
And that's tomorrow night, by the way, on ABC. And then the last couple of minutes here, the Lakers have a choice to make tonight. And you and I have seen the Warriors do this a lot, which is with their older players. If there is a game on the road that can impact the short turnaround to the game after that, they will essentially give up the game on the road to come back to the friendly confines to win a series. The Lakers have this choice. Do you go, you know what, to the wall tonight with LeBron and with Reeves just coming back, or do you say, you know what, let's go ahead and give it a shot early on, hopefully not leave somebody in with a 32-point deficit and have them pull a hammy, not that I'm referencing anybody, JJ, but do you say, you know what, let's give Houston, if they get off to a good start, give the Rockets game six, let's rest people, come back to crypto on Sunday and win this thing. Is that too big a risk? What are you going to do with tonight? Because, you know, if you expend a lot of the energy tonight and you don't win it, now you got a problem in the final game.
I think you expend it tonight for a lot of reasons. One, you want to end the series with the older group as quick as you can. The second reason is this isn't like it was 3-2, Tony, and it was like back-and-forth series, or it was a 3-1 and they came back. It was 3-0. So the Heat with the Lakers and the media, if it's 3-3 going back to L.A., the nervous energy that would be in that arena, and really the experience of LeBron would be basically it. You'd have Austin Reeves and company having to deal with, are you guys going to be the first team that blows a 3-0 lead? I would want nothing to do with that. So I go out tonight and I just try to win at Houston and just end it here tonight. But the Lakers got to get off to a good start. I think that's the key. If you remember game three, they stole game three. Houston did plays that you don't see in youth basketball. I mean, you just some plays, silly plays. Right. I mean, so if they don't come out ready to go, I think, and they fall down, you're going to have Houston sitting there kind of like Boston was when they came back down 3-0 against the Yankees. Like, hey, you know, all of a sudden you've got all the momentum. So I think you go all out and you try to end it here if you're JJ.
And particularly if Dave Roberts shows up and steals second base for the Rockets, then you know so it'd be in trouble. But as I let you go, Matt, you're right on the money. If they get off to a good start tonight, they will go for it. If they fall back, you'll see JJ probably pull it back in. He will not do the if we're down big, let's see what happens kind of routine like he did that cost him unnecessarily the health of Luka, that's for sure. They also don't want to be 61 points down like Atlanta last night. That's right, John. I hope you enjoy it. Nice getting blown out, you ingrate. Sorry, another personal agenda out there. Matt, listen, I appreciate it. As always, have a great broadcast tonight, 6 o'clock on the MW, and, of course, over the air, a terrific senior day, and you and I hopefully will be able to talk at some point next week. Always appreciate it, my friend. Take care.
Sounds good, Tony. Anytime.
All right, our good friend Matt Norville again, Fresno State, San Diego State at Margie Wright Diamond, 6 o'clock tonight. Very important game, senior day, 1 o'clock tomorrow. Take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, and then Los Gigantes. And then after the Gigantes are done, it will be high school baseball on 1430, and the Lakers will be on 790 tonight. Tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday in Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Continue the road trip. They are at, to be technically correct, they are at St. Pete, Tampa St. Pete, to play the Rays. They'll get started today at 3:40 with a 3:10 first pitch. Actually, take it back. They'll have a 3:40 pregame and a 4:10 first pitch from the land of the Rays, and they aren't playing anymore at George Steinbrenner Field. They're back at the Trop, so we'll see how it plays out. Tell you all about the schedule right now from our good friend Ed Dunkel, who always allows us the time. His great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And as always, we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. The goal always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and we always thank Ed for everything he does, not only for the university, but for the Valley as a whole, with one of the very best civil engineering companies you're going to find anywhere on the planet. All right, as far as the lineup goes, FPU baseball underway right now on 790. The Lakers will come up later against the Rockets, 6:15 the pre. We already talked about the import of that game. Over on the 1430 ledger, we mentioned the Giants are here with us in just a little while. and then it'll be high school baseball as Phil, after a half hour, show-wise, will head over to Clovis North for Buchanan and Clovis North, the 6:15 pre, the 6:30 first pitch. A lot of Grizzlies baseball over the weekend. The Giants and the A's both have their games. And, of course, we'll see if there is a Game 7 of the Lakers or not on Sunday. Other fine shows, Paul Metters, two really good shows. FPU has not only their play-by-play, but they have the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul 6 to 7 on Wednesdays, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. That's over on 790. And then the long-running show on 1430 on Saturday mornings that Paul has, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon from First Green Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net. TDAD, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. For the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And as I mention every day, we not only have coverage, obviously, of the NBA, of Major League Baseball, of the NFL, and all the championships, but Fresno State joins us once again beginning on July 1, a tremendous partnership, the first of its kind, and we'll continue to tell you more about that as we roll toward July. And then the final reminder mentioning Phil's show, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, is outstanding show behind the bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. A great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. And keep in mind the Clear the Floor sale going on right now, a great sale at Fashion Furniture El Paso across from River Park. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Riley. Thanks, as always, to Jorge, and particularly to Matt Norville. Go out and watch the softball team. And as always, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And one more time, you can reach Phil on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. The Giants coming up shortly, then high school baseball, FPU on 790, then the Lakers. See you on Monday on KFIG Fresno.